White, J.E. White, Emma. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. September 18, 1894. Dear children, I arose and dressed at midnight, for I could sleep no longer. The hands of my watch stood at 12 o'clock. Since writing my last letter to you, the Vancouver mail has come in, and I read your letter with much interest. I am sorry that anyone in the office should reenact transactions after a similar kind to those which were done during your father's sickness, and for which they were reproved. But let not anything of this character cut off your faith. Do not permit feeling to arise that will destroy your faith and happiness. Walk humbly with God, walk trustingly. Since coming to this field of labor, your mother has had severe and fiery trials, but in talking of these trials, and in writing concerning them, I find that they bite more keenly into my soul. I may not last long, but ere my life closes, I would see you, my son, filling the place that the Lord would have you. You have a work to do, and you must not fail nor be discouraged. Again and again Satan has tried you on this same test, and as a result you have yielded to temptation. Now I write to you, knowing that the Lord has a work for you to do. If you walk humbly with God, He will help and strengthen you, and give you His peace. The Sun of Righteousness will shine into your heart and mind, and you will be all light in the Lord. Place your hand in the hand of Jesus, and say, I believe in Thee, I trust in Thee. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and only in the Lord. Men may make mistakes, they may misjudge and misconceive. Their imaginations and impressions may be faulty, but the Lord never makes a blunder. You are to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. There are many in the cause whose hearts and minds are not imbued with the Spirit of the Master, and they are not doers of His word or imitators of His example. But you are not to look to them for your pattern. You are to move steadfastly, firmly, forward, saying at every step, Be thou my pattern. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Jesus Christ is your foundation. Build upon Him, but be careful how you build. If you build with wood, hay, and stubble, your work will be burned up. But if you build with precious material, compared to gold, silver, and precious stones, you will suffer no loss, though your works may be tried by the fires of the last day. God has been working in your behalf. I know this, for the Lord hath revealed it. But you have need to exercise faith and patience, and long forbearance toward those who are not ready to rejoice over the finding of the lost sheep, who is so precious to the true shepherd. The true shepherd has given his life for the sheep, and he calls upon all his friends and neighbors to rejoice with him. He says, My sheep that was lost is found, my son that was dead is alive again. Luke 15, verse 6, 24. The kingdom and the work of Christ is not after the similitude of the world's modes and practices. It is a dominion of principles originating from the character of God. The prophecies plainly predict that His kingdom is not to be after the order of any earthly government, but is to stand in the world reflecting His sufficiency, completeness, and perfection. The ensign of the reign of Messiah in all its character is to be distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. Where the kingdom of God prevails, every carnal weapon, every influence of force and compulsion is banished. By the action of the Holy Spirit on the mind, God is recognized with gratitude and with love that is without one taint of selfishness. Christ said, And He is our sanctification, our sufficiency, our righteousness. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. The efficiency of Satan's kingdom is found in the blending together of satanic forces to extend the contagion of evil. But the Lord Jesus has devised a plan whereby He may work counter to the work of Satan. He designs to imbue His human agents, the subjects of His kingdom, with the principles of love and unity. With sanctified heart they are to build one another up and strengthen and extend that which is good. Reciprocating Christ's love, they are to deal in the goods of heaven. His church is to bear His superscription and thus testify to the world that God has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Through the circulation of His holy love, pity, kindness, and tenderness of heart are to be imparted to all their zeal. Love is to be interwoven as threads of gold in all their actions. Every Christian who is happy in the Lord will work zealously to bring the same happiness into the heart and life of one who is in need and affliction. followers of Christ will produce their own happiness in the hearts of others by performing Christ-like works. They will diffuse an atmosphere which is pure, peaceful, and Christ-like. They will act out heavenly attributes and will produce fruit after the heavenly kind and quality. That which they sow, they shall also reap. We must look on the faults of others, not to condemn, but to restore and heal. Watch unto prayer, go forward and upward, catching more and more of the Spirit of Jesus, and sowing the same beside all waters. Give not your heart to the possession of any hatred, because you see professed Christians pursuing a course that is not what you might expect from those who have had an experience in the truth. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. See that you are not a commandment breaker in any wise, because others disregard the principles of God's holy law. Let all your works, however humble they may be of a character to save precious souls for whom Christ has died. Be sure that you have the Spirit of Jesus, and present to others the truth as it is in Jesus. The Lord loves those who are contrite in heart. Now is the time to form a character unto eternal life, to receive light, and to make the most of your precious opportunities to diffuse light. It is by imparting that which you receive that you will grow in grace and in Christian experience, becoming a worker together with God. What a privilege it is to wear the yoke with Jesus! What an exaltation! The Lord wants you to believe in Him, to trust in Him, so that you may, with Paul, understandingly say, "These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, 18. There is one thing I would urge upon you and your associates, and that is that it is a most solemn thing to represent to the world the character of Christ. Wherever this is done, by whoever it is done, there is seed sown unto eternal life. Whatever you may see others doing that your judgment convicts you as being unseemly for a Christian, see to it that you never do the same things yourself. Never grieve the heart of Jesus, who has borne your sins and carried your sorrows. Serve God in meekness and lowliness of heart. The Lord loves you, and just as long as you will follow in the footsteps of Jesus, you will walk securely. It is essential that every soul that names the name of Christ should make straight paths for his feet. Why? Lest the lame be turned out of the way. It is a terrible, terrible thing to give a soul a wrong example, and to lead him in a crooked course by the way in which you may walk. We shall soon stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to have our cases decided, for this has been done before. The judgment sits, the books are opened, and it is revealed that every man receives according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or evil. Crowd all the good works possible into your life. Though others may pursue a course toward you that appears to you as wrong, just remember they are not following the example of Jesus, and look away from their defections to the perfection of Christ, your example. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, because there was no guile in his heart. The sentiments cherished in the soul will find their way to the lips. Again, I say, your only safety is in looking constantly to Jesus. The discouragements which you have suffered in the past from others will be repeated. Some will think that it is their special duty to be suspicious of you, and to hinder any advancement you may endeavor to make. It is not in their nature to restore and to build up, but this is ever the work of Jesus. They will not be pleased unless they make the erring feel their sinfulness of the past. But Jesus takes the sheep back to the fold and calls upon his friends and neighbors in heaven and earth to rejoice for. He says, "I have found my sheep that was lost." Luke 15, verse 6. There is more joy in the heavenly courts over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 that need no repentance. Jesus is rich in grace. Draw, constantly draw from him, for you may have rich supplies.
The demon of heresy has mapped out the world,
and has resolved to possess it as his kingdom. Those who are in his army are numerous. They are disguised and are subtle and persevering. They resist every divine influence and employ every instrumentality in order to compass the ruin of even one soul. They possess a zeal, tact, and ability that is marvelous, and press their way into every new opening where the standard of truth is uplifted. What will the laborers together with God do? Wherein lies their ability and efficiency? Those who are workers together with God will work in Christ's lines. Imbued with the Spirit of Christ, they will rise to their true dignity and responsibility. The church is not to fold her hands in security and say, "I am rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing." Revelation 3, verse 17. The followers of Christ are not to trust to past experience and fail to go on to perfection. In so doing, the church will meet with defeat and ruin. Upon what shall she depend? Wholly and entirely upon God. We are to look upward. The eye of faith is to penetrate the hellish shadow that Satan casts athwart our pathway and reach into the sanctuary above, within the Holy of Holies, where Christ our Advocate is pleading in our behalf. Look unto Jesus. By faith, grasp the spirit of his intercessions. He says, "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Isaiah 49, verse 16. Ask in faith, and he will pour down upon the thirsty soul the Holy Spirit in its plenitude, in its all-reviving power, to teach and to sanctify the receiver. Believe, children, only believe. Mother, postscript. Please send us your proper address as soon as possible so that we may mail your letters directly to you. We'll send more articles in the next mail.